Speaking of kits, speaking of men who love kits, we're going to talk with our guy, Willie P. right now. He was on the WFNZ expansion draft special. Buddy, good job. Welcome back to the show. Really, really good job, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate you embracing the beautiful game, and it's great to talk to you guys.
So are you wearing the kit right now?
And the shorts.
I'm not wearing the kit, and I do not own a pair of the shorts yet.
Why are we calling it a kit? Why can't we just say it's a jersey? And why are we doing this?
Well, the way overseas, the kit actually is supposed to refer to the entire uniform, the jersey, the shorts, the boots, and it usually, you know, kind of comes in one little pack together, and that's what they call it, a kit. And usually the way that it works overseas, but here, at least colloquially, they've moved to just calling the jersey the kit. But it's a European thing.
I don't know how I feel about that, just being honest, guys.
All right, P, so we get the expansion draft last night, and for those of us that are casual, you and I have been through this in another market with what went on with Atlanta United and trying to get coached up on what this looks like. You're farther ahead than me. The question is, from an expansion draft standpoint, as it relates to Charlotte FC, equate this to maybe the NFL model of what we experienced with the Panthers being an expansion franchise. Who was available? How many players? Give it to us, layman.
So it's a little bit different than the way these other ones work because, for example, in the NHL, you could take somebody from every team and then use them as a tradable asset. Same thing with the NFL. You usually take from every team. This is a little bit different because Charlotte last night only had 5 picks, and the roster is about 25 to 30. So it's not as if they can pick one person from each of the other teams. Now, the teams that had players taken in last year's expansion draft for Austin FC, well, they were exempt. So they were really only able to pick from 22 teams. Each team could protect 12 players. The guys who are basically your homegrown assets were automatically protected, and also your under 22 age players are also automatically protected because the MLS is basically putting forth a new initiative to sign younger talent and develop them inside your roster development system. So it really is a situation where, because of the fact that only 12 are protected and you have more teams now in the MLS that were eligible to have players taken from them than ever before, that the talent is very more diversely split so that it allowed for some of these guys to fall through the cracks, kind of like an Anton Walks of Atlanta, who was just part of a numbers game situation in Atlanta. And the same thing for one of their other picks they brought in, defender Joseph Mora, DC United, 28 years old, kind of fell out of favor from the head coach because of a change in system. And he's a guy who's going to come in, and I think he can start right away for them at left back because he brings age, he brings experience, and brings more MLS minutes than anybody who's currently on their roster at this point.
So two of the guys drafted last night were traded for, and I'm just going to, I don't know if they call it this, but GAM, which is general allocation money. What in the bleep is that, and how does it work, Willie P?
So it's basically monopoly money. It's not as if LAFC, put a boatload of cash in a system and sent it over to Charlotte FC. It's not quite like a salary cap. It's basically money that goes above and beyond the base salary. I liken it in a way to the college football coach's salary. You know how some of these guys have, a base salary that's mandated by the state, and then they get the extra money on top that's, the apparel money or the shoe money or the radio money and things of that nature. It's just money above and beyond what the base salary is, because the base salary is for a lot of these MLS players, I think the max is only about $612,000 for the non-designated players who are your top three paid players. So because of that, you need this extra money, which is called GAM, to pay above and beyond that particular amount. No one really knows how much each team has available at any given time because it's not really tracked very well. But because of that, what they acquired last night, they acquired more in a single day than any franchise has in the history of this expansion draft. So as a result, it not only helps them take care of their own players they've already signed, but helps them to be more competitive in the market to go sign players when free agency begins later on today.
Dave Tepper has a lot of GAM. Got it.
Yeah, and he has good GAMs too. Willie Pelagic here. I don't know why I went Willie Pelagic. Willie P. Will Pelagic here, WFNZ personality and reporter. He was part of the WFNZ Charlotte FC expansion draft coverage yesterday. So in terms of what the heck does any of this mean, I've also heard that the last night was about the Charlotte FC spine. What does that mean?
So the you're going to hear Miguel Angel Ramirez. He talked about it in the clip you guys played coming back about his game model. His game model basically is an attacking style. He wants to play on the other side of the pitch. He wants to have basically an attacking mindset. He wants to have very fast wingers and forwards who can keep the ball centralized and in the attacking zone. Well, in order to do that, you need to have very solid defense that keeps the ball pushing forward, and that's basically what they call the spine, you know, the guys who are at the back. And the four at the back for them are pretty fortified when it comes to what they did yesterday. They brought in, like I said, Anton Walkes, who's probably going to profile as a center back in this system, the guys who play closest to the net. And same thing for Joseph Mora on the left side as a left back. He's going to go kind of back and forth, not only from the defensive zone, but also into the attacking third. And I also feel like because of the way that they've built their team, they're going to have a lot of filtering in and out so that they have the ability to have interchangeable parts and maybe push the pace a little bit more with some of those guys there in the back. It's a very unique game model that hasn't really been tried at the MLS. It's a very big hybrid for anybody who watches European soccer of what Pep Guardiola likes to do at Manchester City. And again, I know a lot of this is very deep in the weeds for a lot of people, but for the layman's terms, they want to push the pace, they want to push the tempo, and they want to keep the ball away from whoever's in the net right now for Charlotte FC.
And I think that's a philosophy that not only lends itself to an exciting day over there at Bank of America Stadium when we get the rest of that schedule released, which I believe is coming today. But from a pace standpoint, we would be remiss if we didn't get into another team in town that plays with pace tonight. Hornets at San Antonio Spurs, 8:30 p.m. is the tip. Willie P., coming out of Dallas and then previewing San Antonio, your thoughts on Hornets' chances tonight?
In about 35 seconds, by the way.
It's going to be interesting tonight. They're going to get some more pieces back, and McDaniels is back tonight. They may or may not have Plumlee, obviously, because of the rib contusion. Two nights ago, I guess, was just, again, one of those nights that I feel like because of the COVID pause for a lot of these guys, some of that development was very much compromised, and I think you're just going to have to kind of find yourself so much on this road trip. Once they get all the pieces back by the end of this road trip, I think you're going to see this team start to turn the corner.